Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Half Year Results 2018 conference call and live webcast. I'm Iruna, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Jens Breu, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning and welcome to the presentation of our first half 2018 results. Today's speakers are Rolf Frey, Chief Financial Officer, and myself, Jens Breu, Chief Executive Officer of the SFS Group. The agenda over the next 60 minutes will be introduction and key takeaways, first half 2018, development by segment, development of key financials, guidance 2018, Q&A before closing. I will start with the key takeaways, first half 2018. In the first semester of 2018, SFS continued the dynamic growth momentum from the previous year, 2017. Existing and newly taken market positions could be successfully expanded as envisioned and identified within the growth strategy for 2018. Gross sales reached 855.9 million Swiss francs, 9.9% higher than in the first half of 2017. Organically, SFS developed a growth of 7.1%, which, in terms of industries and regions, was widely supported and carried by all segments. Currency effects and changes in the scope of consolidation contributed 2.8% to revenue growth. The attractive earnings generation of the SFS Group was, starting in the second half of 2017, temporarily burdened by special operational effects. These include the sharp increase in raw material costs, which could only be passed on within the respective divisional supply chains with a delay, the high advance payments for future growth projects, and the additional expenses resulting from the sharpening of the plant profiles, which will be completed by year-end 2018. Nevertheless, a comparable EBIT of 116 million Swiss francs has been reached, which corresponds to an EBIT margin of 13.6%. In the previous year, that amounted to 10.4% or normalized 14.2%. The high investments in growth projects and the development of the production platform in China are despite well on track. Accordingly, we are pleased to lift the initial sales guidance for the full year 2018 from 5 to 7% growth to new 7% to 9% growth and confirm the EBIT margin target of greater than 14.3%. Continuing with the development by segment, I start with the headlines of the engineered components segment. The healthy growth momentum of the previous year was continued in the first half of 2018. Sales reached 473 million Swiss francs, an increase of 10.5%, whereof organic growth amounted to 7.6%. The divisions automotive and electronics confirmed their role as growth drivers. The medical division pleasingly returned back to growth. However, the attractive earnings power was still burdened by two effects. First, high advance outlays for future growth projects, which we expect to phase out in the second half and enjoy then the first fruits of corresponding sales growth. Second, the time-consuming pass-through of higher raw material prices, which caused a temporary dampening of the EBIT margin. Still, an attractive EBIT margin of 17.6% was achieved. In the previous year, the normalized margin amounted to 19.6%. As expected, 75.9% of the total SFS group CapEx was allocated in the first half year of 2018 to the segment Engineered Components. Key messages: Division Automotive, driven by stable innovation trends. The division continued to significantly outgrow the industry by ramping up new and innovative customer projects. Stable trends like the electrification of cars continue to create innovation and growth opportunities for SFS. The time-consuming pass-through of increased raw material costs, despite intensive effort, could be completed. The impact of U.S. import tariffs will be passed along the supply chain in the same manner, this time expected without major delay. Projects to expand the global manufacturing footprint are nearing completion and will sharpen the competitive edge of the division further. Key messages: Division Electronics, on the growth track. The first 6 months of 2018 continued with strong sales growth in mobile devices and hard disk drive applications. An initially weaker US dollar, higher raw material prices, and substantial advance outlays for new projects weighed, however, on divisional profitability. These new projects, mainly deploying cold forming technology, allow us to access new applications and will produce initial sales in the second half 2018 on a low level. A second steeper ramp-up is expected and scheduled for the coming year. The construction of the new manufacturing platform in China, Nantong, just north of Shanghai, is proceeding as scheduled. First value-added processes are expected to be placed into the new buildings by year-end. Key messages: Division Industrial, mixed performance depending by application area. Some areas like industrial applications showed strong to very strong growth rates, while the aircraft business experienced a slowdown. Reason for the slowdown in the aircraft business is on the one hand the lower production rates of the A380 and on the other hand the high inventory levels across the supply chain of the A350. Which is expected to disappear later on in the second semester. New projects acquired in dental technology and plastic injection molding areas demonstrate SFS's competitiveness in its targeted niche applications and are expected to provide a steady stream of future growth. Key messages: Division Medical, back on the growth path. The medical division returned after a stagnating 2017 back to the growth track as expected, thanks to its strong pipeline of innovative customer projects. The division achieved all-time sales records at 3 out of 4 manufacturing locations within the first 6 months of 2018. For the second half of 2018, the order book for new and existing products is expected to further firm up and provide the basis for accelerated growth for the remainder of the year. Coming to the headlines of the Fastening Systems segment. The dynamic sales growth momentum from the previous year has been maintained with 12% growth, whereof 6.9% can be attributed to organic growth and 4.1% to FX-supported growth. The segment expanded its market position thanks to its offering of compelling products and services. It increased its profitability to an EBIT margin of 9.4%. Like the segment Engineered Components, also this segment experienced temporary profitability headwinds due to higher raw material costs and relocation project costs. The project costs just mentioned to sharpen the production profiles will phase out as the project will be completed by end of 2018. The competitive position of the segment has besides further been strengthened with gaining the majority interest in HECO, a leading German manufacturer of fastening technology in the constructive timber work. Key messages: division construction, market position strengthened. The division successfully expanded its position in an ongoing favorable market environment thanks to its innovative products. Significant progress in the application areas of flat roof, hinge technology, and cladding systems have been achieved. Substantial progress with various projects to sharpen the production profiles could also be noted as high points of the first half of 2018. These efficiency projects will be completed by year-end as scheduled and further contribute to the margin growth story of the construction division. Thanks to the increase in stake at HECO to 51%, the division construction will be allowed to even more targetedly use the existing growth and synergy potential of the entire HECO organization. HECO will be part of the scope of consolidation of the SFS Group starting July 1, 2018. Key messages: division riveting, broadly based sales growth achieved. The riveting division's solid revenue growth is broadly based, with the strongest growth coming from solutions for the automotive industry. With the iBird Pro, Gesipa presented a new generation of battery-powered riveting setting tools offering extensive IoT functionality. Considerable progress in the efforts to sharpen the production profiles have been achieved as well. Costs related to this project and increases in raw material costs are likewise temporary challenges for the profitability. Coming to the headlines of the distribution and logistics segment. The segment distribution and logistics achieved an acceleration in sales growth of 5.9%, with that significantly above the Swiss GDP growth, an important benchmark number. Growth was broadly based across the various application ranges and product categories. The EBIT margin reached 7.2%, in the previous year normalized 7%. Considerable increases in procurement costs continued to weigh on the profits in 2018, same like the segment has experienced in the second half of 2017. However, the increased costs from last year and the current year were passed through in 2018 to customers with some delay. This proved to be more challenging an undertaking than initially expected. Continuing with the key messages: distribution logistics, market profile sharpened. The new online store under sfs.ch, launched in February, received positive customer feedback and generated attractive growth as envisioned. The 100% SFS-owned subsidiary, Alchemet, was positioned as single partner to customers in commercial trade. With that offering, the full product range of SFS and allowing those purchasing costs to customers being further reduced. The architectural hardware business unit refocused and reshaped its activities. As a result, the margin weak security system business was discontinued and sold off. And last but not least, the segment distribution logistics enhanced its logistics solutions for C-class parts by introducing a versatile app to grant easy access to product and order information. With that, I conclude my explanations and will now be glad to hand over to Rolf for covering the next two agenda points.
Well, good morning and welcome. Rolf speaking. Let us continue with the development of the key financials. The first slide shows the influencing factors of the total growth of 9.9% year-on-year, which has topped the guidance of a 5 to 7% increase. The organic growth came in strong at 7.1%. Tailwind from the euro and the English pound development against the Swiss franc added to the growth, whereas the headwind from the US dollar lowered it. All in all, the FX impact amounted to a positive 3.1%. The change in scope had a minor negative impact of 0.3% on the top line. SFOS sold two small and non-core subsidiaries in 2017 and disposed the business unit Security Systems in May 2018. All the three segments and seven divisions contributed to this dynamic growth. It was also broadly supported by all end markets and regions. In the share percentage against previous year, no major shifts are visible. As a sole exception, we could mention the slightly higher share of the automotive sector, growing 17% year-on-year, and Europe, growing 13.5% year-on-year. Both sectors were supported in their dynamic by a positive currency effect of approximate 7%. Overall, the SFS group still pursues the envisaged diversification in the end markets with a target split for the regions, Switzerland, Asia, and America with 20% and the remaining 40% share for Europe. Also, significant progress has been made. Extraordinary operating effects continued to weigh on the profitability during the first half of 2018. Against this backdrop, we report an EBIT of 116 million Swiss francs, which represents a margin of 13.6%. The majority of the slowdown in the EBIT margin can be attributed to these temporary operational effects. In the segment engineered components, they can be summarized as higher at-once outlays to realize growth projects. We estimate this effect with about 5 million. In fastening systems, higher transition costs in optimizing the supply chain, approximately 2 million, and in general, the time lag in passing on the higher raw material cost to our customers, approximate 1 million. Without these one-off impacts, the EBIT margin would have been better by at least 1% and would have reached around 14.6%. We expect these temporary effects now to come down stepwise and to fade out by the end of 2018. When we compare this number year on year, we have to raise previous year EBIT by last time amortizations on intangibles with 30 million Swiss. They are no longer applicable in 2018. And this brings prior year comparable EBIT margin to 14.2%. The development of net working capital, both as a percentage of net sales and days outstanding, is stable. At the seasonally high point in June, net working capital in percent of net sales stands around 32%, whereas at the year end, it is historically about 100 basis points lower, around 31% of net sales. The CAPEX spending on property, plant, and equipment has kept its pace. It amounted to 70 million Swiss, which corresponds to an increase of 44% year-on-year. Growth projects and the new Nampong factory contributed heavily to this growth. Furthermore, growth and replacement CAPEX were needed in bottleneck areas needed for automation and efficiency projects. The segment engineered components increased its stake from 55 to 76%, which reflects the dynamic and innovation going on, especially in automotive and then electronics. On the other hand, fastening systems is left with a share of 12% only compared to 27% last year. This indicates that the substantial capex for the transition projects are done and to a great deal over. The high level of capex in engineered components will continue during the second half year. We expect for the year as a whole and for the SFS group to equal above 8.5% of net sales. In the reporting period, the operation raised cash flow from 125 to 143 million Swiss francs. With that, we fully financed the increase in net working capital and the substantial capex. The end of June, free cash flow basically amounted to the same level of 35 million as last year. For the full year, we expect an accelerated increase in free cash flow triggered by higher profitability as well as no further increase in net working capital. In spite of higher capex in the second half, we anticipate to lift free cash flow again to around 100 million by the end of the year. SFS's balance sheet remained familiarly solid. The equity amounted to 1.1 billion Swiss and the equity ratio stood at 71%. Net cash was influenced by the buildup of net working capital and the high capex outflow. As a matter of fact, net cash ended at zero as at end of June. The potential borrowing capacity and the strong annual free cash flow allow for financial flexibility and for entrepreneurial freedom to finance future organic growth, capex, and potential M&A transactions. On the asset utilization, our internal KPI is the return on capital employed. The development is shown in the upper curve of this slide. ROCE, which is stated before tax, is attractive and outperforms with 23% our targeted hurdle rate of above 20%. A more stringent and tough measure is the return on invested capital. EBITDA after tax is measured at the invested capital, including the goodwill offset. The target to constantly achieve returns well above 10% will be triggered by stronger EBIT margins and better asset utilization. Let me summarize the financial key messages for the first 6 months. Organic sales growth with 7.1% is on track. Regional EBIT margin of 14.6% when taking into account the temporary operational burden of approximately 1%. Net income no longer affected by the amortization of intangibles and therefore increases by almost 46%. Capex up 44%, which is needed to secure future growth projects and the Nantong factory. Solid and healthy financing with equity ratio of 71%. To finalize the presentations, two slides to our guidance for 2018. Let's start with the past performance. This is important to understand our business development throughout a business year. Even so, the past cannot just be extrapolated to the future. The past gives an indication on the pattern that can be expected in the future. At SFS, historically, the second half year in the business environment has been seasonally stronger, both in sales and profitability. The year 2016, as an example, helps to demonstrate this effect. As you can see, the second half 16 with an EBIT margin of 16.2% was well above the first half with 12.9%. In 2017, this pattern was discontinued as both semesters closed with EBIT margin in the range of 14.2-14.3%. The reason for this flat development is obvious. The already mentioned temporary operational issues came in mainly in the second half year 2017. We estimate this effect is approximate 200 basis points. With this temporary effect, without this temporary effect, EBIT margin would have raised to around 16.2% in the second half of 2017, and as such confirming our pattern of a stronger second half year. The same effect happened in this reporting period. As mentioned, we estimate the impact on the EBIT margin is 100 basis points in the first half year of 2018. With that in mind, we concluded our guidance for the next 6 months as well as for the full financial year 2018. And there we can confirm the EBIT guidance of more than 14.3% for the full year, which underlays again the expected stronger margin to be achieved in the second half of 2018. Currently, we anticipate an EBIT margin in excess of 15% for the remaining of the year. This will be reached thanks to continuing strong organic growth on the top line, the full impact we will see of the price increases to our customers already passed on during the first 6 months, and the decreasing temporary operational effects. We raised the sales growth expectations to a range of 7-9% for the full year. Organic growth might slow down a bit due to the base effect of a strong second half 2017, but also due to cautious estimation based on natural uncertainty in the business development of some important customers and the U.S. economy, which may be at or near a peak. Our success is always strongly linked to the success of our customers. From July onward, HECO Group will contribute to the top and bottom line growth. We expect the overall effect of the change in scope to be 2% for the second half of this year and 1% for the full year. As the euro and Swiss franc rate was already at 1.15 in the second half of 2017, we expect a phase out of the currency effect. Tailwind from this area is expected to be maximum 1% in the next 6 months. Well, with this guidance, we close our presentation. Jens and me are now ready for your questions.
We'll begin with the questions from the webcast. The first question comes from Tobias Fahrenholz from MainFirst Bank. He writes, guidance 2018, formally not divided into organic, for example, scope. What have been your internal expectations for these items in March? For example, to which extent is the euro already hedged for 2019 and at which level? Would you see any positive margin transaction impact coming from the recently weakening Swiss franc and still higher local cost basics? Trade tensions, what do you see as a potential future risk here with your various end markets?
Yeah. So, answering the first question, temporary profit burdens indicated with 1% in the H1 2018, assuming steel prices stay where they are. Here we have to say that the new pace of steel prices are now built into the sales prices of our products with most of our customers, starting for the second half of 2018, meaning the higher raw material costs are now fully absorbed in the organization and will be passed on to our customers. With that, the effects we have seen in the first half, the burden we have seen in the first half of 2018 is expected to go away in the second half of 2018.
Okay, second question, if I understand right, was what have been our internal expectations on top line in March? And of course, at that time, we had no intention or we had no knowledge of change in scope. So we did not foresee any percentages change in scope. We were aware that most probably there will be an impact on foreign exchange rates, but it's always very difficult to anticipate this. And we also had to know that we still are hedged for the full year of 2018 at 1.10 against the euro. But in our internal expectation, we had something like a 0 to 1% impact estimated for foreign exchange rate growth. So that would leave a 5 to 6% for organic growth. This brings me to question three. Are you hedged for 2019? Yes, we have taken the opportunity of good euro against Swiss franc rates, and we are hedged at around 75% on what we have a surplus in euro in Switzerland. The surplus it will be in the range of 100 million, and that is hedged at 75% hedge ratio, and the average the average exchange rate is around 1.16, 1.17.
With that, I come to the fourth question, the last question on trade tensions. What do we expect or where do we see risks in our various end markets? Out of the various end markets, we probably have to look closer into the automotive and electronics end markets overall, and probably there we could locate the majority of the risk. Risks in our estimation are hard facts and soft facts, which probably could come to play. Hard facts we have already experienced. These are increase in trade tariffs, in import taxes, which certainly for short-term burden our P&L until we are able to forward these additional costs to within the supply chain onward to the next level. Usually such increases in taxes and import tariffs usually take 3 to 6 months until they are completely reflected in the P&L and then moved out of the P&L by moving it into upstream supply chain partners. Probably what we also should not forget are the soft factors, since we are built into many successful customer products, we never know whether in a particular region or nation, maybe there are soft measures against specific products, brands, or proveniences where the products come from, which then could result into a temporary slowdown of the sale of such products, which then naturally also affects us. So overall, we built some of those concerns into our guidance for the second half of 2018 and took a rather conservative measure in respect of continued sales growth for the remainder of 2018. Done with the first questions.
The first question from the phone comes from Jörg Schirmacher from Baader Helvea. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. I have three, if you don't mind. First, for the second half 18, you guide for an EBIT margin in excess of 15%, which you would mathematically need to reach a margin of 14.3 or higher for the full year. So are you able to be a bit more specific what higher than 15% means, and could 2016 possibly serve as a reference here where you were able to increase margins by 330 basis points in the second half over the first half? That's my first question. Second question refers to your distribution and logistics division. Here you grew year over year 5.9%, which to us seems slightly lower versus other peers in Europe. So my question here would be, is this driven by a larger share of your business in Switzerland versus the higher growth in the remaining Europe, or are there other reasons? If it is Switzerland driven, how much, or can you tell us how much business is actually derived in this division from Switzerland? My third question relates to the electronics business, where you have been able to grow strongly despite a structurally declining market in HDD applications. Can you here maybe provide a bit more color on where the growth is coming from, and also how your business with your large U.S. smartphone manufacturers developing so far? Thank you very much.
So I will start with question number three, and then we move up range of questions. So first question on the development of the HDD business. Here we have to say, overall, the build rate of HDD is still declining, probably with a rate around 5% in 2018. The reason why we have seen continued sales growth now for the second year is mainly due to the fact that we were able to place additional value added into these devices, meaning we have launched 2 years ago a new product line, which then increased our sales and increased our value added in such devices. Secondly, also there are still new HDD devices developed where we then usually have an opportunity to increase our value added consistently by placing also with new technologies, new components into these devices. Third, we probably have to mention that also we were able to gain some tactical gains where competitors maybe were not able, due to quality and other delivery issues, to deliver on time. SFS was able to pick up those sales allocations, and with that also contributed slightly to the sales growth we have seen. In general, on the electronics side, we have already heard that we had a good start into the year. We expect a continuation also in the second half of this year. Many new interesting product lines will be launched by our customers, and we are positive and optimistic that the sales guidance given can be achieved as we have just communicated it. In terms of customers, product lines, and value content, no change is visible. We are optimistic that we were able to perform up to the expectation of our customers, and that we keep our value-added content in those devices at least stable. Certainly, we do not know how well those products will be received by the end market, but also are hopeful and optimistic that we'll see similar acceptance of those new devices like we have seen over the last 2 to 3 years, which will then adequately support our sales growth in the electronics end market. Coming with that to the question number two, the question on distribution and logistics. Distribution and logistics is focusing on Switzerland only, and so this is probably a key differentiation to our competitors, which maybe have a Swiss business, but also a much larger business outside of Switzerland. So therefore, we have to truly judge and take in reference the Swiss GDP, and with the Swiss GDP then judge the growth rates achieved of our Swiss distribution and logistics business. We can say that probably around 96% of our sales is happening within Switzerland, within this segment, and the other 4% are customers which have outside of Switzerland additional entities which we then support also with components out of Switzerland, which we then ship and invoice to those Swiss key customers, key accounts which have locations outside of Switzerland. Secondly, we could also add that probably the product range we offer in distribution logistics is probably only by 20% or maybe 30% overlapping and comparable to some of our other competitors on the distribution side.
Okay, question one on the guidance on the bottom line. As you have clearly seen, first six months was at 13.6%. We expect more than 15% in the second half, so that is already built in an upside potential of 150 basis points, which in our opinion confirms the pattern we have seen in the past. And again, it depends, of course, on top-line growth, on other aspects, but we feel pretty sure about this number of greater 15% in the second half, and unfortunately, we cannot be more specific on that.
With that, we concluded this question.
We'll take the next question from the phone, which comes from Jörn Iffer from UBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Yes, hello, and thanks for taking my questions. The first one would be, please, on the new China production side, how confident are you, or what gives you confidence that there are no one-off ramp-up costs are happening, impacting your margins second half 18 and also in particular the first half 2019. Second question would be, please, just to double-check, the average selling price increases now has happened in all divisions, also in distribution logistics. Third question would be, please, the project pipeline for 2019 in automotive and electronics. Do you think that you, even in a more muted macro environment in 2019, you can maintain your medium-term organic growth target of 5-7% given due to the project pipeline? So more color here would be appreciated. And then just two technical questions, CapEx 2019. And then another one, I missed this in the call, the 8 million in brackets one-offs for the first half 2018. Can you split this just again between the three components? Thanks.
Yeah, we'll start with the first question. The China production facility is well on its track. The building should be completed by year end. First installation of new plating lines will actually happening in the fourth quarter, and initial value-added activities will probably start in November and December slightly, and then in first quarter 2019 start to ramp further up. Overall, we see this as a two-year project, so meaning that we do the relocation of value-added in the year 2019 and 2020, and with that, reduce the burden on the P&L and also reduce the burden on potential delivery issues to our customers, so have a step-by-step approach. Certainly in 2019, there will be some burden to the P&L, and also in 2020, there will also be some burden to the P&L by the relocation project. We believe it will probably not be visible to the outside, meaning that our margin development expectation, as we have guided it midterm, should not be affected to a great deal at this point in time. However, I have to mention, we certainly also expect with that overall the economy is still in good shape and will not have a second or maybe a third adverse impact on our margin. Then we should probably certainly feel it also on the group development if there is a second and third element of burden to the EBIT margin. The second question on the price increases we have done throughout the divisions, yes, we can confirm that all the sales price increases have been concluded and completed as of July 1st. There are some small here and there negotiations which still go on, but no non-material ones in the month of August and probably September. Also for distribution logistics, specifically in Switzerland, we have now adjusted all the prices and are running on a new and adjusted margin pace after we had initially to absorb this increase in cost already in 2018 and beginning of 2018. Overall, as mentioned, This was a longer than expected period. We had more extensive discussions with our customers than usual to forward these cost increases in the supply chain. The third and last question I answer from my side on the automotive and electronics growth path, what is the visibility for 2019? We still have a full pipeline of innovative projects which should come online. We have in 2018 the two large projects, which is the component, the assembly for the driving brake, for instance, is ramping up in 2018 and 2019, contributing to growth. We have also some additional orders were coming in 2017 and 18 for the parking brakes, which also expected to ramp up in 18 and 19. And then we have this large projects in the division electronics for specific customers in the electronics end market, which also starts slowly to ramp up in 2018, and where we will probably see a steeper increase, a steeper ramp up, more material ramp up in 2019. So we also are optimistic that as long as the economy is running well, and no interference is happening, that also 2019 we should see good sales growth along our midterm guidance of 5-7%.
Okay, there was question four on CapEx. Let me first comment to 18. We indicated that the CapEx expenditure will be in excess of 8.5%. Basically, major projects are growth projects, and of course, this Nantong factory, they have a major impact on this high number. And an indication on 2019 is early, of course. We have to talk and will talk to our divisions, but kind of from a top-down approach, we would believe that it will, the percentage on net sales will come down to a more reasonable level in 2019, probably in the range of 6% on net sales. And question number five on these special effects, the breakdown, we estimated for engineered components roughly 5 million based on these advanced outlays. For fastening systems, 2 million, sharpening supply chain and production profiles. And for distribution and logistics only, about 1 million in the delay in passing on the higher raw material cost.
All right, thank you very much.
The next question from the phone comes from Ralf Schäfer, Landesbank Baden-Württemberg. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Schäfer, we cannot hear you. We'll take the next question, which comes from Michael Lichvar from Bank von Tobel. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. Can you hear me?
Yep, sure.
Okay. I would have three questions. One just regarding your guidance, and this time relating to the growth guidance. Why would you expect kind of a slowdown of a growth in the second half of the year? It just seems that regarding your growth investments and also increasing the prices, you should also probably expect acceleration of growth rather than deceleration of the growth. And then second question, just in terms of the cold forming applications in electronics, if you can maybe mention some examples, that would be very helpful. And then the last question, third question, regarding raw materials increases. If similar raw material increases happen in the future, did you take any measures to maybe speed up the process of transferring this to the customers, or is it possible that you will also see going forward, if we see more increases, that this will impact margins in a similar fashion as this time?
Okay, thank you for that. The question, starting with question number one on the outlook, on the guidance organically 4 to 6% for the year, where we predict and forecast 4 to 5% for the second half of the year. Here we have to probably mention two elements. The first element is that last year at this time we had a fairly also steep ramp up. We had quite a few customer programs ramping up, so we are running against a strong base in the second half of the year. And secondly, as usual, we have to mention the third and the fourth quarter usually being deciding ones. We have on the electronic end market the ramp-ups of new customer devices, where we truly do not know yet how much sales they will yield. We can estimate. Same also accounts for the construction division, to which also the newly acquired HECO organization belongs, where we also have usually the uncertainty about the development of the season. Will there be an early winter in November and December? So due to that, we usually guide a little bit on the conservative side and make sure that we are also able to keep what we put out there, what we the expectations we raise. So certainly it's a conservative guidance, but it's also from our point of view an achievable guidance. And probably thirdly, to mention all the uncertainties that the trade effects or the trade on the trade side, that we see some taxes coming in, probably also could create a slowdown in some specific end markets, which then also probably also reduce the demand on our side. On the automotive side, we have to mention, you probably also heard of the homologation of all these new engines, that a few OEMs are fairly challenged, that they are under pressure to homologate the new engines against the new exhaust standard. Also there, we see some delays on some specific product lines in the third quarter, which we expect go away then in the fourth quarter. So all in all, some opportunities certainly out there, but also plenty of uncertainties out there, which we took into consideration when putting up this guidance. On the second question, on the electronic project where we apply cold forming technology, here I cannot be more specific. We have a product line, we have value content, we are now the supplier of choice and are awarded with these programs. They will be ramping in the third and fourth quarter of this year, and we'll see the majority or the large ramp then next year in 2019. More we cannot say at this point in time due to confidentiality agreements with our customers. But certainly we are on track, and we are expected, or we expect to deliver as we raise this expectations. On the third question, on the raw material price increases, every time it seems it's a different game. When raw material price increases usually are announced, and then it depends on the customers, it depends on the general mood in the supply chain, how easy or how tough the negotiations are. At this point in time, most of the increases came within short time in the third, fourth quarter last year. And the strategy of most customers this time has been to extend the negotiations, to extend the decisions, and to truly give us a hard time in forwarding these raw material price increases. For the next time, if the next times happen soon, then we would probably be better prepared, because the discussions, they all just have happened. If we would see the next raw material price increase only in 3, 4, or 5 years from now, then probably it will take more time again, because then usually the whole supply chain first needs to be prepared, needs to discuss those subjects, and needs to be made aware of the fact that raw material costs and in general costs are increasing. This so far to those three questions.
Okay, thank you very much. No follow-up questions.
The next question comes from Armin Reichberger for Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen.
your Nantong plant on the picture looks quite big. So can you already estimate your capacity utilization? I mean, you will have a slow ramp up, but are you confident with your orders at hand that you can fill that plant? And then, a minor question, you had high financial costs, in comparison with last year, where comes that from? And then in electronics, you for some time now, you try to reduce your dependency from your main client. Do you have some success stories there? That's all for the moment.
Okay, then I will start with question number one and also cover question number three and also probably cover question number two. So first on Nantong, as this is a complete new facility, will have around 78,000 square meter of space. This will be the second largest site within the SFS group after completion, and will be the place where we allocate new projects, but also where we move existing value-added processes step by step into this new facility. Since the electronic end market is a rather seasonal one, we will go ahead with the transfer of the value-added step by step, meaning whenever we see and whenever we know there's a slow season, a slow period, we will transfer the value added, the machines, the equipment, the personnel to the new site, and with that keep the interference with the daily business to a minimum. Also, we have to mention that usually these transfers need to be approved by our customers, so usually our customers are well tied into these programs and plans and relocations, and therefore will be well synchronized or expect to be well synchronized with our customers, so we do not expect a major slowdown, we do not expect a major challenge in this transfer, and if some problems arise, we probably rather take it a notch slower rather than speeding it up. There is no time pressure on our side. On the capacity utilization side, we can say probably 60 to 70% of the space will be utilized by the full transfer, leaving probably 30 to 40% of space available for new programs. These new programs also include then the projects, the new cold forming projects, which will then transfer into this facility probably later on in 2020. So probably by 2022, 20% of the space will still be available, and the other 10 to 20% will be occupied by these new cold form related projects. When I stay on with the division electronics and answer question number three on the strategy and the success to broaden the portfolio of important customers with division electronics, then we can say we have made progress. When we go back 4 years, probably at that time, we did not have any sales with Chinese smartphone OEMs. Today, we have sales with probably the three, four most well-known Chinese smartphone OEMs. Besides that, as part of our strategy also to diversify not just the customer group, but also diversify the applications where we are specified in, then we also have made progress. We have seen that today we are, for instance, in smartwatches, we are in IoT applications. We also have a project where we go more into power adapters of our customers. So we have broadened overall the range of applications, and since most of our customers are fairly large ones, multi-billion customers, we probably also have to look at them as being different companies, different divisions, different applications. And since especially the electronics market is a fairly concentrated one in terms of brands, we clearly have to take a look at that from a different perspective. We'll probably not have more than 10 most important customers, and probably out of those 10 customers, the top three or four will probably account for 60 to 80% of sales. That's probably the nature of this end market.
Okay, question number two on the financial result in the report. It states 4 million on the financial result compared to 1.2 in the previous year. This 4 million can be broken down into interest result, which is 2.3 million, and the other portion of 1.7 million is foreign exchange losses. The foreign exchange losses mainly happen on intercompany foreign currency loans and also in the first half year where we had the dollar loan from a bank. That is currency losses. It's hard to predict that for the remainder of the year. And the first portion, as I said, 2.3 is the interest result. There we would expect a much lower number for the second half year as we normally run into a net debt position once the dividend currently is paid and all the high capex move to a zero net cash, net debt at mid-year, and now we'll create a net cash position in the second half year. So that will normally and naturally reduce the interest burden in the second half.
Mm-hmm. But the interest rate was, even though 1.2 versus 2.3 this year, so much higher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
As I said, there is a, maybe you could also see the currency. You take the loans, Swiss loans, and Swiss currencies are much lower, and then you have it in US dollar, which we had, interest rate is above above 2%, close to 3%, higher interest rates on the loan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was the last question for today. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Jens Breu.
If there are no more questions at this point in time, we thank you for your attention and say goodbye until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.